Para problemas hay saber dar un estado de parlamento ele é, mas como vai passar para mim? Na cidade, é nem. Eu não vou tomar isso. É. E a gente vai dar uma grande massa. A gente vai estar aqui para o meeting. We convene this meeting. It's a special meeting to focus on a subject that has been largely the work of this committee, namely Section 139 of the Constitution. Because I think, as per our discussions last week, it is quite important to make some reflections about what our lessons, what our observations, and how can we do this better. Better in compliance with the Constitution and all other laws which are relevant to this provision of Section 139. The agenda is before us. It's open and welcome that I've already done. You are asking welcome to this meeting. And apologies. I only have the apology of Honorable Shahid Sheikh. She's attending the traditional course in the book. Any other apologies? That is the only apology. Let's proceed. The discussion. I'm going to start by just reminding the meeting about 139 and how it applies, so that based on that we must have fruitful deliberations about the matter here. We all know that the invocation of Section 139, 1B of the Section 139, generally speaking, of the Constitution happens when the provincial government, or the genesis thereof, is when the provincial government takes a decision, intervenes, and I use this word intervention because that is what is provided for in the Constitution, that the provincial executive council of the province will intervene when it feels or thinks or has assessed the fact that a municipality cannot or doesn't fulfill an executive obligation in terms of the Constitution and in terms of the executive obligation. And in that case, the province comes to you. Now, the Constitution provides five methods of intervention or of using one section, Section 139 of the Constitution, and one is Section 139.1A, which requires that the provincial government must issue a directive to the municipality. The second one is Section 139.1B, where in which the provincial government assumes responsibility because the municipality cannot fulfill an obligation. The third one is by dissolving the municipality in terms of Section 191C of the Constitution. The fourth one it is section 139(4) of the Constitution, way in which the Provincial Executive Council takes appropriate steps to ensure that any municipality adopts a budget or is able to raise the revenue. It imposes the revenue raising measures and approve those so that the municipality functions. And lastly, that the provincial government, in terms of section 139(5), when which imposes a recovery plan, which sometimes leads to the possible dissolution of the municipality. And the Constitution does explain what is it that must happen in relation to every section. Now, we all know that when the provincial government imposes section 139(1)(b) of the Constitution, it means within 14 days, the Provincial Executive Council must inform the Provincial Legislature, the Minister, and the NCOP. And that within 28 days, the NCO, the Minister must approve or disapprove the intervention. And that within 180 days, the NCOP must approve or disapprove the intervention. In terms of C, when the municipality is dissolved, it means basically within 3 months, 90 days, there ought to be fresh elections and a new council appointed. That's going back to B. The legislation doesn't say precisely what is it that the provincial government must do, but oftentimes the provincial government appoints an administrator to facilitate the process. And even in CC spells it out that an administrator would be appointed up until a new council is dissolved. In terms of section 1391D, section 1390D, if the municipality fails to approve the budget or raise the necessary measures, the Provincial Executive Council must inform the Minister and the NCOP within 7 days after invoking section 139(4) of the Constitution. And lastly, the same applies in case of imposing a recovery plan to the municipality in terms of section 139(5) of the Constitution. That is, I thought perhaps I must just sketch this background to remind ourselves that it is under those circumstances that section 139 of the Constitution was is invoked by the Provincial Executive Council. Now we have had our own experiences as this committee and even the committees prior us. They have done this kind of work, but lately we have experienced some challenges in terms of our own approach, shortcomings identified, and we need to talk about it. We need to share our own experiences so that in case in the future we've got to embark on this measure, what better processes must we follow, and what is it that we need to do. We have a 2-hour discussion for us quietly, slowly, carefully considering this particular aspect, sharing our own observations about what is happening and what is it that we need to do to improve the situation that is confronting us going forward in the future. Because as you are aware, once the intervention is made by the provincial government, it levels to straight to the NCOP. And the NCOP, the chairperson of the NCOP, assigns this committee to to do some work and later present a recommendation before the House in line with the stipulations as prescribed in the Constitution. Now we need to share our own experiences. What do we see, what we think, and we need to do what assumptions we should follow and how to solve these particular problems. I open this discussion over to you, honorable members, starting with honorable Nicolas.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, let me say thank you to you for making time for this session. I think that it's very, very necessary and welcome, because the 6 years that I've spent on this committee, we haven't seen a successful, I said it right at the beginning of this term, a successful Section 159. And that really makes you ask, why is this? What is necessary? But no one has asked that before, at least no Chairperson. So I would really like to thank you for that. I think it's necessary that we actually, across party lines, come together to see how we can invest it. Because if we're successful in this, we would be able to make a lasting difference to the lives of the people on the ground in the most basic services that they receive. Chairperson, I'm not going to speak too much. I just have 4 points that I think we should consider. I'm not going to give examples of this is from, well, this is the result of what I've seen through numerous interventions in the past. And this is the conclusion that I have come to, that I would like to see, and which is hopefully a proposal that will make it more effective. The first thing is, and I think the committee has almost adopted that already, is that we need to at least every 3 months receive a report back from the administrators. It takes a day like this where you get all the municipalities that are under administration, and we actually have question and answer sessions with the administrators. But then I also think that we should do it in a way as you've chaired when we were in the program, where you give every member X amount of minutes and you actually have the time to engage with the administrator and ask questions. They give answers and then the next member can ask. Because in that way you can actually interrogate what's happening over there in a better way. So you can start to uncover what is really the situation. But the other problem is also that some of the administrators even do worse than the municipal councils and the MMs themselves. We need to start identifying these administrators at the MMs and officials who actually are not qualified to lead a municipality to better now. So I think as a committee, we need to start also keeping our own, I don't like the word blacklist, but for all practical purposes, that kind of list of people who we know in the past have not been successful in intervening in municipalities. Because if Mr. X failed in Macedoniana, and we see that the MEC appointed him now to go and save Makube, or he was a failed MM in Mangaung, and we're now sending him to go to fix it, then we know we've already set up for failure at the beginning. So as a committee, it doesn't need to be a national list, but we as a committee need to have some institutional knowledge that we can keep from one term to the next to say that these guys have failed at doing their jobs in the past. We can't let the MEC or anyone else make use of them again because it's going to be a failure. So that would be my second proposal. It's 3 months feedback, every 3 months. That's it. The third one is, we as a committee need to seriously, when we see financial mismanagement, we need to seriously consider starting opening criminal cases against these individuals. Because we have a duty to act on every single case that we can become aware of where corruption took place if we see that no action is being taken on the ground. And we have the power to do so, and I think we also have a legal duty to do so. And then my final point, Chairperson, is, and I believe if we follow these 4 points that we might change the ways that 239s are implemented and how successful they are. My final point is that we need to develop as a committee certain guidelines to say these need to be the things that are going wrong before you can reasonably invoke Section 139.1b. These are the things that reasonably need to be in place before you can move on to C. There's no guideline or checks and balances in that regard. And what I find is that in many cases, you find a municipality which should have been under Section 139.1b a long time ago, but for political reasons, it's still carrying on the way it's carrying on. Other municipalities should not be under Section 139.1c, but they've already invoked B and C, but there's still something that we can do to fix it over here. So we don't have a uniform approach to prevent political interference or these triggers being used for political reasons, and that causes a lot of instability. So, regular reports from the administrators, a blacklist of people who've already met up municipalities that the committee can keep internally and hand over to the next term, criminal cases where we found corruption, and the final one is we need to develop guidelines to say these are the circumstances that need to have happened for Section 139.1 A, B, C, and so on to be imposed. That would be, in my opinion, 4 of the necessary steps that we need to consider and to put in place to make sure that on our side Section 139.1Bs are successful. And if we get that right, in my opinion, we will be able to actually go back to the people and say to them, administration works for the first time since it's been allowed. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any other contribution? Yeah, thank you very much. Firstly, my sincere apology for turning the meeting late. I think much as one would concur with the issues that are raised by honorable municipalities. I think we're starting in the because I would have thought that maybe our point of departure would be to say, what is our role as the NCOP in monitoring the implementation of Section 154 first? Because the problem starts, we only get involved when provinces want to implement 139. We are not taken on board in terms of what the province actually is doing physically to implement Section 154. So I would have thought that maybe our starting point should be our role in ensuring that provinces implement Section 154 across municipalities, those that perform good and those that underperform, so that we can be able to get those reports and follow up on the weaknesses of those municipalities that are not really keen on that support. Then we would be able to intervene even before we come to the level of 139. I think our role should be to make sure that we avoid a crisis situation. So we should be more of a crisis prevention kind of a machine instead of a reaction to that crisis. So I would have thought maybe we should start there. And then in the event this particular process does not yield positive results, then we come to the second phase, which is exactly the issue that honorable Karatis was raising, with which I personally would agree that we need to have a particular that particular approach. But maybe also in terms of the chronology of the proposal, we start with the guidelines. We develop the guidelines so that we have our guidelines for ourselves. Maybe it should also be the guidelines that we set for the provinces to intervene using Section 154. So I think we would need that particular session in the future, where we will have to also invite the 9 MECs. Then we have that session, we jointly develop this particular document, and then we table it to the House for it to be approved as a guiding document for us to work moving forward. I think if we can have that particular approach, we will not get to a point where we will have to institute 139. Because now all of us, we are brought on board very late, and sometimes the time frame as well do not allow us to soberly analyze and assess the situation. And when we get on the ground, you wouldn't know who has been mobilized in support or against the 139. We will go there, conduct the interviews, and you hear that people are overwhelmingly supporting the 139. But when you sit back, you realize, hey, maybe we shouldn't have approved it because it's not yielding those results. But I also concur with the issue that says we should have our own list of people who have intervened in different municipalities and the role that they have played in those municipalities, so that we don't really keep on recycling the problem. Like what we came to experience on the ground in Pohwan, in the Northern Cape, where we found out that the administrator has been to some other municipalities as well, and there has been no positive improvement in relation to that. So that's my contribution to that.
Thank you very much. Let's take our time.
Oh, thank you very much. I was actually thinking, Chair, where do we start in terms of, if you look in terms of local government as it stands, as it is currently? Because you will observe there are two things that are currently happening when there is issues of intervention. The first will be there will be political instability, that is the most common one. And then the second one will be the issue of relations between Section 46 and political lag in this particular municipalities. Now, to be honest with you, this discussion is not going to give my desired outcomes in terms of we need to understand why is there provision for Section 199A up until C. And then you ask yourself, in this day and age, how we constitute councils and how we appoint in councils, does it actually assist us in making sure that we don't invoke Section 139? And also, like Honorable Kalia has also said, in terms of what role, because Section 154 is very silent. You don't hear anything about it. And also, then ask ourselves as NCOP, what is our responsibility? Because they will come to us and they will say, okay, we approve your invoking on Section 139.1A up to whatever D or C. But when it comes to the appointment of a particular administrator, we don't have a say in that. And that is an issue that we actually need to look at
And for us to deliberate on this issue, it is not going to assist us unless there is a proper study that's going to be done about local government specifically. Because if you look in terms of the MFMA, there are certain responsibilities delegated to the executive mayor of a particular municipality. And then you look at the competence of a municipal of a mayor who is mostly illiterate, how do you expect that municipality to go further? How can you expect that municipality to be financially viable? How do you expect that municipality to actually render sustainable services? How are you expecting that particular municipality where the MFMA and the Systems Act actually says that the mayor is responsible for the budget delegated to the municipal manager and the integrated development plan of that particular municipality? And then you go to the Constitution as well, where it talks about the objects of local government. So if you have such politicians that does not understand their roles and responsibilities, how do they expect municipalities to actually do what they is expected of them to do? And there is this thing where there's a lot of politics in local municipalities. There is a lot of politics. And we find it playing out, and I feel at times that we are just here as the NCOP to rubber stamp a political decision that was taken in another Lekotla somewhere, saying this is how we are going to deal with that faction, and the administration is led by a particular faction, makes that decision, it comes to us, we agree on it. And then what they do as well, they appoint an administrator that belongs to that particular faction. The interest of not to say that particular municipality, but their interest was basically to deal with their faction. So, Chair, if you want to do justice to the public of this country, we have to rope in, expert advice. We have to do some research and say in terms of the model that actually governs municipalities currently, is it assisting us? Is there anything that we need to change in how we are governing municipalities? That's what we need to do. And also for us also to understand, because there's a lot of legislation that assists municipalities in making sure that they actually do what is expected of them. Because what you find in some countries is that they don't approve budgets that are funded, and no one is held accountable for that. Yet there are a lot of things that are happening and no one is actually taking anyone to book. And in this thing that George was talking about, blacklisting, you don't just blacklist the administrator. What is very interesting was when we went to oversight in Limpopo, where someone, when you ask a question, check for the benefit of those that were not there, that how can you say that you did not know that you were supposed to invest in VBS? Because the Section 21 report goes to the mayor. The nine item says investment. And you as the executive mayor, you're not inquisitive enough to say in which bank are we investing. You find reports that are given that are very technical to this executive mayor who doesn't have time to read, who just signs the FD bird and then just follow it to program. We are sitting with such individuals in our municipality. And we need to change that. The thing that is actually happening in local government currently requires us to get off the bike and park the bike next and start to walk. Because the reshuffling of people, the same mayor that has actually cost the municipality a lot of money, is taken away from the responsibility of being an executive mayor, but is still serving as a councillor of that particular municipality. And then you ask yourself, is it acceptable? Someone that has cost the municipality so much money is still serving and is still getting a salary, and people are staying without water for weeks. But he is getting a salary, his family is getting paid, he's getting something to eat at the end of the day. And then you ask yourself, the political win from the political parties that are deploying these public authorities to these particular municipalities, are they deploying competent people because they want to better those communities, or is it just a scheme where you sort each other out, you give your post, even though you know they are incompetent? And then tomorrow there's uprising and people don't fulfill their responsibility and want to invoke Section 139. And provinces that are supposed to invoke 154, they don't do that, they say take a back step because of factional battles. But Chair, in a nutshell, what I'm saying, we need to have a thorough study in terms of the status of our municipality and how it's governed and what contributes to Section 139. That's where we should actually start. And for us, as the NCOP, we should actually look at our role as well. Because it's not right for us to just agree or disagree with Section 139, but we don't have a say in terms of who appoints the administrator. Because if an embarrassment, then you go to a municipality that says, oh, okay, the same administrator that is put here to better his condition, is actually the same guy that actually put another municipality in KZN under administration. And then you ask yourself, oh, what is going on? That is for now, Chair. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Chair. I know police have covered some of the things, but one of the things that we need to look at the municipalities, why are some of the municipalities that were under administration, some of them have been under administration for Bohama, I know for the fact some of the municipalities. And as a committee, there's nothing that we are doing in production. Surely we need to look at the situation, which is totally unacceptable. And then the second issue that I need to touch on is which also honorable also mentioned. Most of the problems in this municipality is that the political stability in the municipality itself. Because everywhere we go, we can find all of the politicians, we find them some of the municipalities. Most of these inviting, we find that the mayor is fighting with at some point we look at this thing seriously, in fighting, because this is where the problem is moving into construction. And the third thing that I would like to mention to the team is the issue of the administration. In all our oversight meetings, the issue of the recycling of the administration in the community. Maybe one of the things that we need to look at as a community. How has this administrator been appointed? The issue of the recycling of administrators in the community. You will never solve the problem of people that are being taken from other municipalities. Some way or the other, there are issues behind it. And there are things that they did in those municipalities. The first thing that I would like to touch on, Jefferson, is that
we need to come up with a proper oversight monitoring. I think it was mentioned earlier. How we monitor the 139, I think we need to look at it and come up with another model. How are we going to monitor? And while I'm still here, I also want to touch on the issue that was mentioned by Honorable Korea, the issue of the 151-54 by the government. And the Honorable Korea, every time we just go there and understand things, we are not taken on board with the problem study. And also that I think it has to do also with the issue of the political factions within the municipality. You know, so we need to be handled, especially with the issue of when the province decides to intervene. Now, the last thing that I want to, or maybe before the last one, that I want to, the issue of the administrative attainment, we've never been in any municipality where we were told the MM has been arrested or CFC. And the terms of references are clear to all the administrators during the history. Here are your terms of reference. You must investigate open cases and open cases. There are those things they don't have. It hasn't happened. Why we don't know? There's a problem. So, as I've mentioned, the issue of administrators, the political stability, so you can see where this whole thing can unfold. Right up to the administrator when it takes off his head. There's some sort of cover up in taking the administrator goes there with a clear mandate. You can do 1, 2, 3, but you don't have one, so and so. So we need to honestly look at that sort of thing, the issue of the administrative administration. It can be that, as I mentioned, that there are municipalities that are under administration for more than one. And it's clear because of the administrator. If the administrator can get to that municipality and do his work, whatever, then you can see progress. And it's a progress as well. Because then those municipalities, there will be improvement, especially in their finances and the way they are living. But then the last thing that I would like to mention is also what I mentioned there that I want to record. Now, really, I don't know how to we allow that thing that the community work. We were in Macau and we were told the very same day, I think one of the Mr. mentioned, who invested the money in the CBA. We realized that the mayor is a candidate. Then, why is not something done about that? Why is it still being the leadership of the municipality? It's an issue. The issue of GBA is an issue. But the guy is still there. He just moved from being a mayor and still the candidate. So how are we expecting that municipalities to be governed properly when they have such people among the municipalities? So that chapter thing is something that has to be looked at, especially by the ruling party in terms of all these mayors who are not who are implicated in the thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. As first, I'm covered by Honorable Korea about our role as MCOP. And the other thing, Chairperson, the problem for us, we put municipalities in Section 139, and we don't go back and check if that municipality is improving or not. And the terms of reference of the administrator, we don't check if is she or he doing the right thing or not. We just put him for a year or for how many years, we don't check. We don't go back and do the oversight. And the other thing that we must do let's put our interests aside. Because when we look in other municipalities, when we look at the section 179B, the municipality was not supposed to be put in that. But because of our political, we want to prove a point. Let's run away from all those things, Shepherd. Because we are killing these municipalities. And this thing of us, we go there and other states, we come here when the MEC said, I put this municipality in section 179B, we said we are not going to say no. Because it's our MEC. It's a rough thing. It's a wrong situation. Let's use our mind and check everything. This section 179B is not good. Some of the municipalities do not put there. But in some of the municipalities, like if you see in the Northwest municipality, some of them they are improving. But because we have this specialization, that is why we can't see the right thing. Let's see if we are saying the minister is approved, the MEC sent it to the minister and has approved, and it comes to us, let's be so high-minded. And go and do an oversight, check it. In other municipalities in Nigeria, they don't have money. But when we check it, there is no forensic investigation. They don't have money. But where is the money? We are asking ourselves, where is the money of the municipality? What I'm saying, let's play a good role, check it, and do it. In after 6 months, if that municipality was put in administration, let's go and see if are they improving or not, so that we can take them out, not leaving them. Because these administrators, some are doing good job, but some, they have interest in those municipalities. And the honorable municipality has covered me, if we are saying, all this administrator must give us a report in every 3 months. We give them 6 months, but in every 3 months they must give us the report so that we can see if he is improving or not, or he is working according to this terms of reference or not. Let's be sober, because me, myself, I don't like inspection on internet. I'm not saying that the municipalities are functioning well or not, but let's use our minds when we find those reports, when they are returning those reports to us. Let's see that project. If that project is the political instability or what? Because if you are not in my favor in that municipality, I'm going to put your municipality into such an alternative. Let's look and see, and let's take our before we approve those municipalities that are in such an alternative. Let's put our minds first. I don't like it, me as a person. I don't like each other. This political instability of ours is killing us, Shepherd. Let's be so open-minded when we do this. Thank you, Shepherd.
Next induction. Chair, now let me appreciate the Facebook process for us to be able to reflect on the issue of Section 139. Chapter 1, I am picking up that this committee will only be the committee of court. Other departments that were supposed to oversight will not be able to do so. given the challenges that are there at local government level, I think we should take note of that. Through Chair, the issue of Section 139 is a really worrying factor. But we must also appreciate the fact that when some of the MECs pick up that, they have done everything to start with Section 154 and there is no improvement. They don't have any other choice but to resort to Section 139, 1B or C. Because it's their responsibility to ensure that the municipalities are delivering services as expected. If they don't act as MECs, it's an indictment on them, and constitutionally, they are accountable. Chairperson, there's an agreement on the issue of administrators. The first thing that we need to know as NCOP is that when you recruit your municipal manager, there are requirements set. And when we put administrators, they put administrators in those municipalities, do they consider the level of the person who is an MM, who has been senior person in the administration space? So I think it's something that we need to know from the provinces. The requirement for the person who qualifies to be an administrator in a municipality. Because sometimes we find ourselves in this quagmire, because even the administrator that has been assigned the responsibility doesn't qualify for such position. I think that's the first thing that we need to also look at. And the issue of recycling a person that has completely failed in any of the municipalities to go and help other municipalities to get out of the challenges that they have in that particular municipality. We cannot allow that to NGOP. The other thing, Chair, at some point, I think we need to have a session with SAGA. Because also SAGA has a role to play in those municipalities. And get to understand what is their view in terms of what is currently happening in their constituency, which is municipality. And based on that, and think, if we are at the same wavelength with SALGA as parliamentarians, whether at the provincial level or else at an NCOP level and NA if you like. Because at this time, we need to be in one in terms of taking the municipalities out of the net. They put themselves in, I don't want to say they find themselves in. Well, some of what is happening is of their own making. The other point, Chair, is on the issue of the mayor and the allegation of the BDS. I think on that one, we first need to know if there is an investigation that is taking place in that municipality around the role that the mayor has played in terms of the BDS. And then if not, we then suggest that they need to investigate to the last, what was the role of the mayor in terms of that? Because my understanding is that the mayor doesn't get directly involved on those matters, except to get the reports that are coming from the administration and do her or his particular role of analyzing the report and picking up where they are deposited. The issue of banking with anything, in terms of the proper procedure, you advertise to all bankers. And out of the tender that you put out, you then identify the suitable banker for the municipality. So that is all the way of the administration.
I don't want the honorable minister to try to justify, because the issue is oversight. If someone fails to play oversight, I'm not talking about advertising for suppliers or service providers. I was referring to an issue of oversight.
But he's not talking about you.
No.
But that's what you're trying to.
I make
an example of a particular mayor. And now she's addressing that issue of that particular mayor. Which I feel is not why we are here for. But honorable civil, maybe she would have said this point that she is saying now if she spoke before. No, come on. No point of order. No. We are here to have a very good. It's okay. We are here to have a very sober, clear discussion. And I'm going to propose let's avoid the point of orders. Let's avoid it. If you need another bite, request it. You request it. But point of order, when we are just discussing, thank you. We'll never have, I can tell you that as I was listening, as I was listening to some of you, I did what I disagreed, but I allowed the discussion to flow. Let it flow. If you want another bite, get it. Get it. I will give it to you. We are tired.
Thanks for protecting me for honorable next one. I'm not protecting anyone, but I'm outlining the procedure. And I don't defend any person who fails to do his work, because I said if we pick up an SOP that someone has done something that was not covered with, let's make our recommendation an SOP. The procedure that I was outlining, that the municipality advertised for us, and in your own work as a mayor or an aggressive mayor, you are supposed to be picking it up from the reports that you are given of all the tenders that have gone out. Even if they do that, it is his own or her own responsibility. Lastly, Chair, on the issue of Mr. Lelo, he has disturbed me. Because
that's what we're going to do. Please, our will not help us. We will detract us unnecessarily. Continue, Honorable Leader. And I apologize for this. I really apologize for this. It's so difficult when, we never had time to talk about these things. We never had time. And because everything was pushy. Now we have time, we are choosing. We don't want to afford one another time to benefit. Honorable, if I have a fire, you'll see me
there. Honorable Chairperson, there's one thing that I need to thank you, is to give you this chance. You see, and what I've noticed in all members of this committee is the openness on this issue. You need to be applauded for that, because not all the time you see members of parliament talking this session. You need to be applauded. And there's one issue that Mr. Honorable Maria raised, and I want to go to the point of 154.
154, I think we haven't done justice on that session. And I want to support the point where we need to have a meeting with all MEC. It can be a day meeting where we elaborate on this 154. Because 154 can prevent us to go to 139. And I even further suggest that we need to talk on a point where is it possible if this 154 can be a blanket section on all municipalities, they must be placed on 154. All of them. Well, we can be able to gauge them as to how their performance are. The other thing that we need to look at for the chairperson is the demarcation. I don't know if whether we have the right committee to look at that or not, but some of the municipalities, they don't have income base. Yeah, totally rural. No income base. We need to look at that as to is it not one of the reasons why our municipalities are failing so badly in rural areas. I'm saying this because I'm coming from KwaZulu-Natal. What you see in Northwest is what you can see in KwaZulu-Natal. Also what you can see in the Bronx. Besides corruption that we see, sometimes our demarcation is not correct. It needs to be revisited and checked. If other municipalities, is it wise to keep them as standalone municipalities, or we need to make them be part of a bigger municipalities? Because if the municipalities don't have a town sort of or income based things, then this one is said to be a failure. It won't perform. But Honorable Chairperson, I'm convinced that 154 can solve the problem that we can reach to. 139 BABC. I think it's where NBC sometimes not want to do the right thing and ended up opting to 139, of which it cost the government a lot of money. We need to look at that.
Okay. Let me also have my mic off before that. Dr. Musawai.
Yes, thank you so much, Chairperson. First, I would like to appreciate for this day that you've given to us. Chairperson, I don't see the importance for this committee to visit the municipalities. Well, we know or we are aware what is happening there. When we get there and find the corruption and people have never been faced justice, people have never been charged, and the very same people, they are coming to the meeting and hold the meeting with us, and even you can even fear that here we are not protected, even us, because of an infight. And you must understand those who expose these people on that side. They are making a lot of noise between these two parties. And you will find there's only one party that these people, they are fighting each other. Then, when you just ask a question as a member of National Council or provinces, then they want to attack you, and you will find that the official of the party They are wearing the regalia of the organization. And you cannot even tell them that you are not supposed to wear the regalia within this meeting. When you say that is a problem to you, you will be attacked. So I don't support this 139 for the committee to visit these people, because it's a faction of the organization. We go there and solve their issue. Why don't these people, before we go there, receive justice? Because these people are supposed to be prosecuted. They know the corrupt people. They know people who will change from KwaZulu-Natal to go to Northwest, moving from Northwest, going to Peter Maritzburg. But they have never been charged. They are charging money like nobody's business. So why must we go there? Because these people have never been charged. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, let me also make some reflections. Oh, I apologize for that. I'm missing. Honorable Professor?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for this opportunity. In listening to what the Chief Cook said, we have to look at, we have to start at the start if we want to resolve the issues in municipality. We have to look at what is the mandate, but before that, if you go back, fall back, I went to local government practitioners, I went to people at the university, people that did studies on intervention. If you look way back, I think it was on the 31st of October 1996, they removed the Profession of Town Clerks Act, wherein the top structure of a municipality had to register in a certain body, where they get monitored on their performance and when their quality is controlled. When they need training, they have to go for extra training and stuff like that. If we look at the figure 8 and we see how a municipality works, that the one part is the political part and the other part is the administrative part. If we put the municipality and the administration, nothing happens to the administrative part. And if you go back and you see, and you especially look into the northwest area, when we've got like 16 municipalities of 22 being under administration this past year. And we see what is happening in those areas, that even when we before had like nothing really been resolved in the 139-1C, nothing has improved in that municipality since 2016 when it was resolved. Nothing has improved. There was no institutional value that was added with interventions in those municipalities. Besides that, if we look into what the Chief Whip said, if we start and we look proactively at Section 152 and 154, and the provincial administration really has the power to go in there and see that these municipalities comply. Why I'm saying that is, go and check and see how many of these municipalities do not submit the annual report. How many of these municipalities are allowed to submit unfunded budgets? How many of these municipalities never follow anything in the NHMA in terms of their compliance to deliver these statements to the provincial government on time and tabled in the provincial government? I've been a councillor, I've been in the legislature, I know exactly how it happens. They are being formed in, they are being talked harshly with them, they walk out and they're off. Sometimes they don't even pitch for their meetings. There's no consequences that happen with them. What is the consequences that happen? The consequences that happen is people do not receive services. We sit in areas where the infringement of constitutional human rights are done on a daily basis, where basic human demands are not met, then these people start acting destructively. And what do we do then? What do municipalities do then? They get popped, they get rubber bullets and stun grenades. And that is how they control this. Because it's a sickness that we have got embedded and nurtured within our local government system. And that is where the NCOP now has the power to see if we can do anything in that circumstances to change it for the better. And we as a collective, I think, have knowledge of what has happened, what we've seen, and we can turn this thing around. We can do this thing, because to ask an administrator to bring you in 6 months to report, it's not sufficient. How do we know where those administrators are? Are you aware that they are being maybe once or twice a week in that town? As for the rest, everything is running on God's wall. Nothing, there's no control or anything like that. If we look at Naledi, if you are touched this morning, if you see what's going on in Naledi, Naledi was, they don't even know that they're out of administration yet. They've got the expert team there, they've got an administrator there, nobody's doing nothing. And that is our problem. We are wasting billions and billions of rand while people are suffering out there. And if I say suffering, I do not know, maybe you, but it's on your, in your personal capacity in your constituencies, but you also visit these areas where people cannot even make a bottle of baby formula because there's no water. Things like that is on a constant thing, and I think that the legacy that we, as the parliament, in the NCOP, the legacy that we can leave behind is to try and turn this thing around, because even if the minister comes with whatever plan they have planned, and I've been in this business since 2003, none of the plans, whether it's the turnaround strategy, back to basics, whatever, none of them has ever worked effectively in municipality.
Let me also share my views about this. Since we started this new term, how many municipalities have been made? It's 7 in the Northwest. It's 3 in KZN. It's 1 Eastern Cape. It's 1 Northern Cape. But the minister says there are about 40 municipalities in total, which are under Section 139. Now, I don't think there was going to be any role played by the NCOP in terms of Section 139. If the provinces were not submitting the notices. And that is where I want to start away. Our involvement as a committee is as a result of the provinces coming to us, complying with the law, within 14 days, submitting the documents before us, and that us expected to give feedback in 180 days. And if the provinces were not invoked in Section 139, it means we are not going to play any role insofar as Section 139 is concerned. We were going to play our role as Parliament in terms of Section 42 and 43 of the Constitution, that is of oversight, a normal oversight to any government institution. That is what we were going to do. But now the imperatives of the Constitution require us to attend to this particular matter, because provinces have submitted notices to the NCOP. Now personally I hate 139, because I see where the problem is, and I'll share with you where I see the problem. The problem starts with the province. That is where the problems of 139 are, because the provinces are not doing their job in terms of section 154 of the constitution. If a province like Northwest was doing its work in terms of 154, it means, in simple terms, it would support municipalities. That is what it was to do, just supporting municipalities so that these municipalities don't fail. And support can come in so many ways. That's the first thing. The second thing, it was going to capacitate weak municipalities. Where municipalities are weak, they then strengthen the capacity of those municipalities. But thirdly, it was going to, as a province, it was going to monitor this municipality. Every day they looking at this municipality and they would know whether this municipality is delivering or not. Now, therefore, the province to do that job, they resort to one thing. That's how I looked at this whole issue, that they failed to discharge that responsibility. Now they find 139 as a quick solution to solve their problems. Now, any province in my view that is doing all this, support, capacitate, strengthen, municipality, don't know immediately that that municipality is having problems. What I call early warning signs. When they do their job, they don't know, for example, simpler things. They don't know that this municipality is submitting monthly financial statements. It will know that this municipality is spending its milk funds. It would know that this municipality has adopted an IDP, and this IDP is credible. They would know that this municipality has adopted a budget, and this budget is not unfunded. You know, for me, that is where the problem is. That is where the gap is, because this provincial government, it is not doing what is expected of it. And because of that, when the municipalities are now having serious problems, and in their view, then the problems are escalating, that they impose 139. That's how I see the whole thing. But I see a gap as well in my view. The gap is where a committee of the provincial legislature or on local government, it is not also doing its job to hold the provincial government accountable. If they were doing that, they would tell us, we have dealt with these issues in this way, in this municipality, and this way, and this way, and we are aware of the problems of that particular municipality. For me, that is the biggest problem. Now, as per the imperatives of the Constitution, the province will come around to the NCOP and say, we invoke Section 139. But I want us to also be honest with ourselves. This invocation of 139 came long before we came in dealing with the issues of the last year. Because now 180 days is with us. We want to comply, and it has made us to run around in the way that we have done. These invocations, all of them came in the last year, and now we've got to deal with those particular interventions in the way that we have done. And for me, that is the first major problem. Now, the question that I ask is, does this department, provincial department, have the capacity, it is well equipped, it is well positioned to can support municipalities? And I think that is a question that we must ask, whether do they have the capacity, just the way that they are structured, are they able to diagnose problems in the municipalities immediately and therefore intervene? And I can tell you now, if it wasn't because of this compliance stuff, the provinces were not even going to come to us and say, this municipality under Section 139. But we must, in my view, we must thank the originators of our constitution that when they said, when you take such a drastic step against a municipality, you must report to the NCOP. And imagine if there was no provision to report to us, how was going to be the situation? Now, in order to protect the independence, the interdependence and the autonomy of different spheres of government, once you take such a drastic measure, you've got to go to national and report, and there ought to be a process to validate your decision. And for me, that is quite important. My third observation, personally, is that when, for example, the problem is water in a municipality, and maybe they invoke 139 because of water, or maybe because of housing, because of health issues, because of financial issues, the other sector departments do not support that intervention. It means that the intervention is the job of the Department of Local Government alone. But other departments are not also coming to play to support it. It was because of you perform poorly in terms of housing, in terms of water provision, in terms of electricity, in terms of whatever service that you are supposed to perform. These other departments are not coming to support local government. It becomes an issue of a department, one department, whereas the provincial government can bring the whole support to the municipality and ensure that it solves whatever problem, or it helps the municipality to perform that executive obligation. And for me, it's a problem. It becomes worse in municipalities where there's only one administrator with no other support, no technical expertise, and then so on. It becomes very, very worse. That you need to ensure that you support the municipality totally on the collapse of that particular service that you have identified. And for me, that is very, very much important. And I cannot agree more with the fact that ultimately this, if you are not solving those problems, we are going to conclude that you are using this as a political tool to solve your own problems and not using it as a way of solving a particular problem and counter to the municipalities. My fourth observation is around the fact that there is no uniformity as a result of the fact that there is no legislation that governs 139. This province is doing this, that province is doing that province is doing that. There is no uniformity, and in my view, the sooner that this process gets completed of passing the law around 139 and Section 100, that is going to address the issues of the guidelines that honorable members have raised. You say there ought to be some uniformity, and there must be guidelines in terms of how this is going to unfold. And for me, that is very much important. My other question is, let's go back to the loop. What happens? We are given 180 days. The minister is giving 28 days. And we ask ourselves a question. In that 28 days, what is it that the minister is doing to arrive at a point where she approves or disapproves the intervention by the province? In my view, I don't think that 28 days is adequate for the minister to do a proper assessment whether the province is right or not, whether the intervention is proper or it's not proper. 28 days for me is very, very short. And I've been asking myself this question. In this 28 days up until the minister makes a decision, what is it that she's doing? Is she sending a task team to the municipality? Is she investigating? Is she following up issues? Or what instrument is she using to decide whether you approve or not approve? Now, the minister approves. it comes to us. We do what we do, go to visit a particular municipality, engage with external stakeholders and internal stakeholders, we assess the situation and then make a decision. The question is that adequate? I don't know. This is something that we must really look at, and as part of the engagement, we get a way that we understand the role of the National Department properly in terms of this. Now, another problem in my view is resistance. When Section 139 is invoked, some people in the municipality support it, some people don't support it. Sometimes politicians support it, administrators don't support it. Sometimes administrators support it, politicians don't support it. And for me, it becomes a dicey situation. And it doesn't help us as the NCO to really understand what is the real problem in the municipality. The amendments have raised an important point to say, you know, the kind of people that are deployed, there is a problem. We deploy people because of other reasons, but not to intervene. And as a result, some municipalities have become worse than the way they were before they got under administration. Or because we do not solve the problem, and the problem is the provincial department. The other municipalities, after a year or two, it's again 139. After a year or two, it's again 139. After a year or two, it's again 139. It is because the provincial department fails to support municipalities on a continuous basis. They fail to monitor them, and they fail to perform their own duties. And for me, that is quite important, because these repeated interventions for the same reason are not really helping the municipalities to solve their own problems. Mm-hmm. Now the last point for me is the point that Honorable Nicolai raised. What do we do with this forensic investigation? What do we do in case that people have committed blatant acts of corruption and fraud and mismanagement of their resources? What do we do? I think we must come to a point where we say we need to take a position and implement that particular position. Now, the law empowers us at all times we must review the intervention. Also, I don't know whether it's not prescribed, but the suggestion there is that it must happen after 3 months or 6 months, where we just sit down and review our intervention and check whether this is working or it is not working. Because all that we must do is avoid and stop provinces from intervening because of political reasons, and intervene, and when that intervention at the end of the day, it is not yielding any positive results. For me, that is quite important in terms of taking this particular process forward. Now, having said that, I'm going to suggest, or maybe remedy, just a quick round of other observations, one or two, and thereafter, based on that, we must formulate our recommendations about going forward, exactly based on what we are discussing. For me, that is quite important. Yeah. I start with the last round, 1, 2, 3. Then we round up the discussion and spend a week for that. Thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you. Maybe I might be wrong, but I think in terms of observations, we've got common observations, and I would think our observations are exhausted. We need now to come up with
concrete proposals in terms of how do we approach these things to ensure that we work properly. And maybe I will be raising some of those recommendations, and but not barring anyone who still wants to convene with observation. One, the first of the matter is that Section 139, in most instances, if not all, is used for reasons other than what it is made for. And I think we concur on that one. We can't differ. Because we will find out that if at a particular point the MEC has some political links and synergy with some of those councillors, particularly those that are influential in council, things are left to go. Wrong things are left to go. It's only when that ball breaks that the very same things that were allowed to continue now get used to fight against those people. Now that's the situation that puts us in difficulty. When we go to these municipalities, we'll find out that when we get there, really the issues that are raised, that are leading to the province instituting this 139 intervention, they are genuine cases, but you don't know what the underlying causes are. We then go, we approve, and then you learn later that no, in fact you have been used to fight a particular battle that you are not part of. Hence the issue that I raised initially, that maybe we need to convene a session. Whether we call it a workshop or whatever, with the provinces, as well as the executive committee of FARC, because they are part of us, where we will sit and make an assessment. But that session, you know the other witnesses that we have at times, are that we want to assess ourselves. Maybe that session we must invite independent experts in local government. People who will pull no punches in criticizing us and our performance. We need to invite them. We can get them in the academic institutions around Cape Town. We can have that session, and we can look for a bigger venue here in Parliament, which will come at no cost. Maybe we may have a cost to the time of those people who will come and make those presentations. But we give them a clear kind of a guideline in terms of this is what we want to achieve out of this thing, so that as and when they come and they do that critique, they also come with recommendations to say, this is maybe the policy that you must develop that gives you, as the NCOP, some sort of oversight power. That's one thing. The second issue, I think we shouldn't be, because as we are focusing on 139, other municipalities are slowly following the 139 route as well, because we are living there. So I think we need to have, I don't know whether to call it a roadshow to all 54 districts, where we call all the municipalities of the district to one place, maybe mayors, speakers, municipal managers, to come and make an assessment of the municipality. We do that municipality by municipality, but in a broad kind of a program, so that we can have a sense of what is it that those better performing municipalities are doing, that the poor performing municipalities are not doing. What is it that they can learn from each other? Because that is very important. So that you can also have a way of seeing what is happening. But our focus should be more on the implementation of Section 154 as an ongoing process. I heard someone saying invoke 154. I don't think 154 needs to be invoked. 154 is a continuous process that as soon, immediately, the day after local government election, 154 kicks in for the next 5 years. It's an ongoing process that coastal provinces need to continuously embark on. But for us to be convinced that that happened, we need to have our own monitoring mechanism to ensure that 154 is continuously implemented, so that we can be able to pick up those red lights immediately. So I think that should be the point. Where that session that I'm talking about with these independent experts must also help us to develop our own terms of reference for our oversight, as well as terms of reference for intervention in an event where the intervention is needed. But most importantly, support, because we don't need this intervention, we need support. It's only when support fails that we can be able to say. Some of the mayors have been mayors for the last 9-10 years, but they've never undergone like the formal training to understand their own responsibilities. Hence, you will find the mayor wanting to tell the municipal manager what to do, because he doesn't know his own boundaries as a mayor. Which, those are some of the things that need to be clarified. And in some instances, municipal managers will exploit that opportunity. Okay, this mayor wants me to do this, and I do this for him, this is what I'm doing for myself in the background. That's why then our municipalities will go on collapse. But the role of SALCA as well, as our eyes and ears on the ground, it's not clear, because sometimes you find out that SALCA comes in as a representative of municipality instead of working with us, providing oversight and advice on municipality. You may have SALCA complaining on behalf of municipalities. All the issues that you are expecting from municipalities, you get them from SALCA. When SALCA is supposed to be saying, in that municipality we've got the following problems, and we think as SALCA this is the solution to those problems. But they don't do that. So that's another area that I think we need to look at. But also the continuous assessment of our administration in particular. We don't have continuous assessment for our administration. Especially the municipalities got better audit outcomes. We don't necessarily draw down those municipalities. No, that's fine. We want to spend more energy and time in firefighting, instead of preventing those fires from occurring. So I think that's what we must do. But also we must have a clear look. There's already investigations that have undergone many in municipalities. Some forensic investigations that have got findings against individuals. But then what do we do? Those reports are that are in dust somewhere in someone's office. There's no action taken to ensure that. Look, we need to communicate, we need to send a clear message that you mess up, you face the consequences. Now we come to the boardroom, we speak Greek, English, consequent management, but we don't necessarily implement our own consequence management. So basically that's part of the recommendations that I would want to go on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Recommendations and answers to the problems about 1 to 9, all the things that you've been mentioning. You know, just a thing, you can come here and try to solve this thing the way you want to, but facts are facts and the truth is that the problem is one of the things that you mentioned. Political stability. This is where the problem starts. You know, we can call mayor to indeed, or we can discuss the whole year with political instability in the municipality, infighting. And the infighting is about all of them. They want to put their hands in the public sector. They are fighting to loot. This is when they start having issues among themselves. The fact. We can't put it in any time. Now, one of my recommendations between being those 139 chapters is that in those 139, we should also look at the office of the AG, their role in those municipalities. Maybe they should be stationed in those municipalities, once the municipalities are under administration. The second issue to, that I would like to make a recommendation to the committee, the issue of these municipal managers in those municipalities. I've seen municipal managers become a millionaire in 5 years. There's a problem. You can't. Those things, they need to be looked at. Municipalities, they are collapsing on our municipalities. Their lifestyle is one of the things that needs to be done. You can't become a man, you can't be a multi-millionaire in 5 years. And then the last recommendation that the committee should do, we need to look at the issue of SANCA. Honestly, I don't know what is the role of SANCA. Seriously. We need to look at SANCA. To me, SANCA is just a way of employing former executive mayors so that they can have employment. We don't see them playing any role in the municipality. They are not happy. We need to look at the issue of SANCA. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I agree with everything that you said. I'm very, very glad. Again, for this discussion and the comments. The reason why I focused on Section 159 is exactly as you said. We have, in terms of Section 159, a constitutional obligation. So over there, our involvement is a lot more direct. We don't have an involvement in the day-to-day functioning as much as the provincial government. Our role starts with 159, and we first need to make sure that we fulfill our role properly. Now, I absolutely support the idea of having a workshop with experts and having the 9 provinces. The comment that you made with regards to the 28 days that the minister has, it's in the constitution, so it's going to be very difficult to have to change that. What I do think we need to also do is, at a separate time, not that the provinces are there, separately have a discussion with the minister and have a discussion, because I've always found it very strange that municipalities or that provinces aren't under some other obligation to inform us before they invoke the intervention. The minister has 28 days, but then the intervention has already started and everything is in place, and she's already sent the administrator and all of that. And then you sometimes sit with the situation that it becomes a rubber stamp exercise. I think the minister should consider some form of a directive to say that if you have the intention, at least inform me beforehand as well, and then I can make use of the 28 days as well. But I don't think at this stage MEC make their intention clear to the minister before the letter arrives for us, and then it's also in many cases sometimes too late. Chairperson, just my final comment that I want to make in terms of moving the process forward. I would propose that perhaps members be given until, you don't want to wait too long, but that members perhaps be given until, let's say, Friday would be my suggestion, to at least email them to the administration of the committee itself proposals in the form of concise and clear resolutions that can be put together, and then perhaps next week at our meeting we can have a look at these resolutions and either change some of them, but to adopt something that we can have on paper to say this is what the committee needs to do. Whether it is in terms of saying this is how regularly we need to monitor it in the future, or even in a sense of taking a resolution to say we need to have a future discussion as a committee on solar. But any forms of resolutions around what was proposed here, because I don't think amongst any of the members, which is a wonderful thing, we have a fundamental disagreement with each other on any of the points. What we simply need to do is we need to put all of these proposals and resolutions in written form and say these are the proposals. Are we accepting it in this form? Are we changing the date here? Are we changing a bit of detail there? And then to have the committee adopt it. And it will most probably be unanimous, but that we get something in writing as soon as possible, so we can then ultimately say to the committee, this is what we've decided, this document will take us forward. That will be our roadmap. And I ask you, please, Chairperson, that this wonderful initiative actually be brought together by putting something in writing that we can adopt as a committee and then go forward as a united unit, which I think is a wonderful thing, that's a wonderful place where we currently are. I think there's agreement across party lines, and if we can have that on paper and say this is where we all agree we go, I think that would be a wonderful thing. Thank you very much for your initial comment.
Yeah, thank you very much. As a way of concluding, can I propose the following? That one, in line with what you've already said, that we need a meeting where we are going to formally adopt the report based on our observations. Yes. The second point is that we need to have a summit or a conference on 139, its application, its shortcomings, its limitations. And maybe we could as well identify one or two municipalities if they are in where this thing was applied and it worked. Maybe one of the municipalities is where a municipality was dissolved via Section 139. Man see as part of that conference, that we learn from all these experiences. I think part of the observation that this committee is making that 139 is used and abused as a political tool to settle scores, and where it is necessitated oftentimes, it is a result of political instability and infightings within the municipalities. That we are also making an observation that, or a decision that, we need to follow up all the 139 so that we receive regular reports, and in this instance create a mechanism where we are going to receive the updated reports about progress, including about the resolutions that this house made in respect of all those municipalities. That part of what we are saying is that all poor performers and failures must be blacklisted and they must not be recycled. We are also saying that the gist of the problem is the inability of the provinces to to invoke Section 154 of the Constitution, and they are not clearly applying it as we encounter these problems. Our observation is that we are not a rubber stamp to rubber stamp the decisions of the executive or of the provinces in respect of this. We need to develop some mechanism of thoroughly scrutinizing a notice that is brought before us, so that we are convinced that there was a case which necessitates the invocation of 139 rather than just rubber stamping what provinces are doing. That we are also saying that up until there is consequence management, and those who deviate must face the consequences, will never resolve the problems in our municipalities. But we are also saying that we need to be proactive in terms of instituting criminal actions against cases where we think the law has been broken, there's been theft, stealing of money. We need to be proactive and open cases with the relevant authorities. And that we are saying we need to convene a meeting, a session with provinces and SALGA to discuss all of these particular issues. I propose that this is how we must conclude this discussion, on a note that we are going to prepare a report based on this, a proper report that shall be circulated amongst members for adoption. Is that okay? Yes. All right, anyway. Yes, the next point in the agenda is that we are considering two reforms of Mumpati District Municipality and Fetakoru Local Municipality. The recommendations are as follows. In terms of Fetakoru, towards a local municipality, the report was sent to us on the 25th of June this year, when the invocation was done, the intervention was done on the 21st of December 2018. What this municipality has failed to do was to notify the NCOP within 14 days. They did it after more than 6 months to notify us of their intervention. And the recommendation is that we must reject it. I don't know what our members say, let's finish. That's clear, as clear that we must reject this late submission. There are no reasons for late submission. They do not even apply for condonation for their late submission, and therefore we must reject. Is that okay? Okay, there's a legal opinion, legal view there.
Yeah, sir, the program is here. This one, I think, is similar to the one that we adopted of Naridi. Similar procedure, we have after one interview. When the committee report, it knows the members do not have to accept the decisions outside the law.
Yeah.
It knows that you should apply the law, and then similar to the Naridi one, if the voters want to, in that Naridi, they should submit a new interview.
Actually, as I understand what we are saying, up until the law is in place, if a municipality submits a notice to us outside 14 days, we reject it, unless it is accompanied by real reasons why it is coming late. That's the first thing. And my view is that, as well, we are giving 180 days. But we must on our own shorten that period of time. But 180 days means 6 months. If we have a notice at our disposal, our turnaround must be at least 3 months, at the most, it must be 4 months. We need to find a way in which we fast track and facilitate this application. We agree, as Fetakoru Mutubati is out. The other one is on Sokomuti Mumpati District Municipality, where they have invoked Section 139(1)(a) of the Constitution. Yes. recommendation is that we must just know because that doesn't want us to do anything in this regard. We don't the place this municipality under section 139(1)(8) of the constitution, which means they're giving them a directive to comply with this and that and that. Yes. All right. Thank you very much. We are done actually with the meeting. The last point is to remind the members about Friday, the whole day. I specifically requested this day from members that we are going to engage on Friday from 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock at least. We are going to engage the five top contributors in terms of irregular expenditure in the country. One, Nelson Mandela, two, Over Tambo, three, City of Makassama, four, City of Johannesburg, five, Mokgalakwena. In Limpopo, Mokgalakwena local municipality in Limpopo. We have notified all the municipalities. We are engaging with the municipalities. We are busy preparing some information that is quite useful for members. It will be circulated by at least tomorrow, and that includes the following. A report of the Auditor General for 17 and 18. We have requested a submission on the municipal state of health from the National Treasury. I've also downloaded the Government Gazette in respect of the regulations on the payment remunerations of municipal managers and Section 56 employees. They will be at your disposal because some municipalities, just on the surface, as I was looking at it, they are overpaying. They are not performing, the private municipality. They are overpaying their municipal managers and top managers. And one of them is earning more than the president of South Africa. Yes. You will get that information to circulate for you. You will go through it sort of by Friday. We should know at least the state of every municipality from that point of view that we are engaged. Any point? Yes, I think that is that. We are following up with all the municipalities because we want them here, all of them, the five of them, on Friday. Oh, we have also invited Salga. We have invited the chairpersons of portfolio committees in the four provinces, that is Eastern Cape, Gauteng, Northwest, and Limpopo. In the municipalities, we have invited the mayors of the four of the five, the municipal managers, the CFOs, and the chairpersons of MX, because they are supposed to be doing what we are doing. They want to tell us what has happened. We have also invited the Office of the Auditor General, which is going to give us a total picture about the situation. We have also invited the National Treasury to inform us officially about the state of financial health of every municipality. And please don't disappoint us. I've noted one or two apologies on red, they are okay, it's understandable, but this is quite important as part of strengthening our own. And all the issues that we raised here about 139, one was not, and what other states are supposed to do, we could use this to stop them so that we engage these municipalities. All right. Thank you very much on that note for your attendance. You are welcome. Thanks.